Credit card company Visa and ChatGPT's OpenAI wrote in a press release that, quote, AI agents become active participants in the economy. Agents will play an increasingly important role in helping people complete tasks that involve money. We're building infrastructure for user-controlled agentic transactions, end quote. And that OpenAI and Visa will give, quote, developers and merchants a streamlined way to accept Visa payments initiated by agents, end quote. Leading us to question who the fuck even holds the credit at that point and whose credit score you pull.
Ladies, this guy has no money. If you're looking for a rich husband, don't look here.
Thank you so much.
This, though, is what companies like Nvidia and AMD were driving for all last week at Computex, selling computers to agents, not to people.
The idea that you have a $10,000 assistant that you use every single day doing things for you, that's not illogical to me.
I can totally imagine, just as every house today has a home theater.
But that's not the only disturbing development in the past few weeks. In a new executive order from the White House, the government wants early access to frontier AI models. Given the already rampant appearance of insider trading, with trades by Trump or assigns of tech companies just weeks before major policy decisions, and given the push for personal AI on everyone's machine, feeding all computer interactions into a data center, we have to break our rule to instead ask a question. If not corruption, why corruption shaped? Because someone had to follow up the How Money Works video of if not bubble, why bubble shaped? After all, as shown in our animation we made of a bubble shaped sphere of companies, it sure seems like competition is dead. The dots between the new policy and ballroom mega donor Nvidia, MAGA Inc. contributor AMD, and government asset Intel, increasingly talking about personal AI, aren't a leap to connect. They're a line segment.
We didn't get in here to build a PC. We're gonna reshape what a PC is. A PC today is like a typewriter now.
You know, the past CPUs were designed for humans.
Give your agent permission. You're gonna have agents that are literally running all the time.
I could totally imagine that someday there's actually an AI supercomputer in your house. And it's running all of your agents. It's running all of your assistants.
Look at his stock price. Every product I announce, his stock price goes up. Nothing happens to mine.
And then there's AMD CEO Lisa Su's admission that would-be competitors aren't competitors after all. They're friends.
Everybody is so friendly. Everyone loves each other. Even if they're competitors, it doesn't matter.
On June 2nd, President Trump privately signed an executive order that asks AI companies and developers to provide the government with new frontier AI models 30 days ahead of release for early access and assessment. Aside from obvious concerns with insider trading giving government officials even more access to highly profitable information, underscored by the recent Office of Government Ethics disclosure detailing 3,600 trades, including Nvidia, Dell, ServiceNow, Oracle, Palantir, and others exceeding $100 billion in value, this order also creates information control concerns. AI models are increasingly being used as search engine replacements and as a source of information, and they're also easy to manipulate, with some billionaires, like Elon Musk, openly admitting to tuning the results of LLMs. And the government oversight comes at a time when big tech companies have worked to consolidate power of information, in particular, and now they're sharing that power with the US government. So when we're seeking regulation and regulatory oversight of things like data center construction, this wasn't what I think anyone had in mind. It's created more of an insider trading inroad than much of anything else. We brought you this video with store.gamersnexus.net, where we currently have a coupon code that you can use at checkout. The code is I told you so. You can type in I told you so at checkout to get a free pack of our Snowflake the Data Pirate coins. Each pack consists of four differently colored metal coins that all have Snowflake the Data Pirate on one side and the GN Smuggling Co. logo on the other side. Because I don't use AI to vibe code and I do things the old hacky way, which is fumbling my way through them, that code is going to show up as a one penny discount when you place your order, and that will tell our store to include the coins. Isn't non-vibe coding fun? While you're on the store getting your pack of Snowflake the Data Pirate coins, the doubloons that we specially made with 3D machining and everything for the coins. You can also get our gold Halo GPU VRAM glassware, our copper-plated stainless steel mule mugs with thermal conductivity on them, or our project and soldering mats, which are useful for not just soldering, but all kinds of art projects and crafting. You might also consider grabbing one of our large anti-static mod mats. We have the GN15 version up there that we launched for our 15th anniversary a couple years ago, and we've been selling the mod mats now for about 8 years or so. If you need a large PC building surface or just a rugged surface that will protect the desk while you're working on it. You can grab all that and more, like our GPU Shredder shirts or our Microslop t-shirts on store.gamersaccess.net to support our travel. We're out here in Taipei for 2 weeks to cover Computex and the rest of the show and everything connected to it. So this is funded directly by the audience supporting us. We don't allow companies to pay for any of our travel or pay us to go to booths. So basically we get out here because of your support. You can go to store.gamersaccess.net, use code ITOLDYOUSO at checkout to get the coins. Back to it. The White House's new executive order frames the action as partnering with AI companies in an attempt to, they say, enhance cybersecurity. Kind of a joke given the recent leaks, but President Trump's order states this. Quote, advanced AI capabilities make our nation stronger, but also introduce new national security considerations that require coordinated action across executive departments and agencies and components. As these capabilities evolve, my administration will continue to work closely with industry to ensure that the best and most secure technology is deployed rapidly to confront any and all threats to our country, end quote. The White House recently proposed budget cuts up to $700 million in the U.S. Cybersecurity Agency funding, coupled with an excellently timed slip-up by the U.S. government hosting passwords and access keys on a publicly visible GitHub repository named Private. But sure. This is about cybersecurity, just like the router ban was. In a fact sheet, the White House said that the order, quote, calls for the development of a classified benchmarking process against which industry may assess their models for advanced AI cyber capabilities, identifying covered frontier models, end quote. The government emphasized the voluntary nature of the order and did not include mandatory rules related to the, quote, development, publication, release, or distribution of AI models, end quote. The phrase covered here is also interesting because this may be an allusion to the future of covered exports and entities, meaning potential export controls for AI solutions like software. Tom's Hardware noted the 30-day review will apply only to, quote, models that meet the classified threshold, which the NSA will set in consultation with the National Cyber Director and CISA, end quote. The CISA is the group that recently posted a bunch of their passwords and security keys to GitHub publicly, just as a reminder. Based on reporting from multiple outlets, President Trump appeared poised to sign a similar executive order last month. However, the federal government scuttled the action after former White House AI czar David Sacks and tech executives voiced their opposition to it. The White House is walking a fine line with its newest order. In its AI action plan from July 2025, the government said it needed to reduce regulation on the AI industry. The government wrote, quote, the United States needs to innovate faster and more comprehensively than our competitors in the development and distribution of new AI technology across every field and dismantle unnecessary regulatory barriers that hinder the private sector in doing so, end quote. In the White House's executive order that we covered in December, the government group helmed by Lisa Su BFF Michael Kratsios also promoted a reduction in regulatory hurdles, such as those posed by clean air and pesky clean water regulations to streamline data center construction. And the AI landscape has changed a lot since then. In April, Anthropic refrained from releasing its new model Mythos publicly, allegedly due to its advanced cybersecurity capabilities. Anthropic created an initiative called Project Glasswing with NVIDIA, Microsoft, Amazon Web Services, Broadcom, Apple, and a few others to evaluate and use Mythos. Anthropic gave Project Glasswing partners access to Mythos to, quote, find and fix vulnerabilities or weaknesses in their foundational systems, end quote. Since April, Anthropic has expanded partners that are involved in Project Glasswing, including the U.S. government. Anthropic's collaboration with the Trump administration comes despite an ongoing feud with the Department of Defense. In February, Axios reported on tensions between the Pentagon and Anthropic due to how the military used Anthropic's AI models. Anthropic said it didn't want its models to be used for empowering mass domestic surveillance or running fully autonomous weapons. Trump called Anthropic, quote, woke, end quote, via tweet, and then the Department of Defense deemed Anthropic a supply chain risk in March. Anthropic sued the federal government in return. The feud between Anthropic and the Pentagon continues in court. We'll see if these AI companies comply with the regulatory technically request and provide early access to the models, or if that request expands to a demand in the future, especially with words like covered being thrown around. But we think the order opens up possibilities to more insider trading. It opens up the possibility to mass control and surveillance, and in particular, mass control of narratives. And this is one I think is not discussed enough, where you can tune search engines to produce certain results, but the way LLMs operate, it's a lot easier to tune them in a way that manipulates people. So you could cover up certain stories you don't want known. This is something we see in the press and the internet all the time in other nations. And that is a threat, especially with LLMs, I think, here, where you could easily, as a government, control the results and brainwash a populace or suppress information that you don't want known. And we already see this with more basic internet like Google searches, where multiple countries manipulate what surfaces in search results, what search engines are even permitted to operate, and restrict access to information that they may feel as a government is shameful somehow. And as far as the companies, they're not going to save us from this, because as long as there's money to be made, people like Jensen Huang, Lisa Su, and Sam Altman would likely collaborate with government on these decisions, especially if it protects them. For example, if they're breaching antitrust regulation or something, and they want to keep certain people and groups in power to ensure it doesn't come back to bite them later. Trump or his assigns have already transacted hundreds of millions of dollars in trades this year across the big tech companies. The recent disclosure details that millions of dollars of trades for NVIDIA alone from public documents that we dug up and surfaced, not to mention NVIDIA partner Palantir also being traded. As for the companies, they see mutual benefit. A new report from Public Citizen indicated that 16 of 27 corporate donors to the Ballroom, quote, are facing federal enforcement actions and or have had federal enforcement actions suspended by the Trump administration. These include major antitrust actions or merger reviews involving Amazon, Apple, Meta, Microsoft, NextEra Energy, NVIDIA, T-Mobile, and Union Pacific, end quote. The report includes tables with new and increased government contracts over the last 6 months, including NVIDIA Heart partner Palantir at over $1 billion and NVIDIA Spark partner Microsoft at around $319 million. Dell, for instance, was rumored to be on NVIDIA's acquisition list, as reported by SemiAccurate, something NVIDIA denied. And last week, Dell received $9.7 billion in military contract money with the Department of Defense for cloud and AI solutions. Per the war.gov post, quote, this ensures our warfighters have the tools for just-in-time data sharing, supports our pivot to artificial intelligence and data analytics, and undergirds uninterrupted operational continuity for our most sensitive and disconnected environments, end quote. NVIDIA is listed for fiscal year 21 to 26 contracts as having $10 million in contracts, almost exactly matching the reported amount that it donated to the Ballroom. Micron, another NVIDIA partner that we believe to be anti-consumer with its wind down of consumer memory at a time when it's most needed and its record profits, is listed in the third table for, quote, ongoing or recently closed federal enforcement actions against corporate Ballroom donors, end quote. NVIDIA is also on the list, noted as facing antitrust investigations related to abuse of, quote, market dominance, end quote. And with the new executive order, people within government will have early knowledge of potentially powerful, or at least powerful in marketing, AI and LLM models and their capabilities before the public. As for next steps, we think we see the writing on the wall with RTX Spark and the collapse in affordability for DIY PCs. This Computex that just passed, the largest trade show in the personal computing industry, tied up some loose ends for our Collapse of Personal Computing documentary, where it effectively solidified what we've seen happening in slow motion. Suddenly, the narrative for NVIDIA and AMD has been one of so-called personal AI, by which they mean, as they call them, assistants that will know everything you do, know all of your data, and have all of your documents. This is actually how it's being pitched. It's being pitched as a tool to help streamline productivity, which mostly we think will trickle the money upwards to the billionaires, especially with Huang claiming these personal assistants will cost $10,000.
The idea that you have a $10,000 assistant that you use every single day doing things for you, That's not illogical to me.
You know, who doesn't love making money?
I needed the cash.
As he builds the case for creating computers for AI agents, NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang went from giving his keynote at GTC to parachuting into events from other companies. Jensen appeared with Arm, Marvell, and Microsoft to talk about how NVIDIA would change the computing industry. Jensen is no longer content with selling computers to people, or as he says, humans.
We created CPUs for humans in the past. And humans, there are only 1 billion of us.
There are only 1 billion of us.
So now he wants to sell computers to AI agents as well, something we've been talking about, and something that NVIDIA has made clear because it needs partners on board to make this happen, to broaden the TAM, the total addressable market.
When ultimately the computers, these personal computers, are going to be becoming agents that are running all the time. We're going to have, instead of 1 billion humans using computers, we will have tens of billions, maybe more than that, of agents and robots and self-driving cars using computers.
The idea that the PCB evolved from a personal computer to a personal AI is just really exciting.
This entire new population of intelligence needs computers to operate. They're going to need a lot of CPUs.
That's not all that Jensen Huang wants, though, in light of the new executive order and the government's ever-broadening push for data center construction, presumably so they could store all the mass surveillance data in it. He also wants more memory for NVIDIA. Despite the memory shortage driving some companies to the brink and causing massive price increases for consumers, even outside the computing industry.
We are going to use a lot of high-speed memory.
No HBM for you, I need HBM.
Jensen is still clamoring for memory. NVIDIA CFO said companies should have anticipated memory prices skyrocketing and, quote, ordered a long time ago, end quote. An easy thing for the company that caused the memory shortage to say. You should have planned better for how we were going to fuck you over. Ultimately, Jensen, one of the richest people on Earth, wants everyone to know something.
Invest, I love getting along. Rich.
Tough luck for those who aren't rich.
Ladies, this guy has no money. If you're looking for a rich husband, don't look here.
Thank you so much.
NVIDIA is inseparable from a conversation about the government's new executive order driving early access and previews for new models, which, again, we worry will lead to manipulation of free speech and of access to information. NVIDIA has contributed millions of dollars to lobbying efforts driving policy decisions, over $10 million to the White House Ballroom Vanity Project that has turned from claims of being a privately funded endeavor to one requiring $1 billion in taxpayer money, and has gone on world tours with Trump, most recently to China, to push its AI agenda. At this point, NVIDIA might as well be part of the federal government, especially with its joint ownership of Intel, to the tune of about 14 to 15% or so across both NVIDIA and the government. So we'll start with the post-GTC Computex keynote activities. Fresh off his GTC Computex keynote in Taipei, Jensen continued his food and speaking tour around Taiwan. He joined keynotes from Arm and Marvell at Computex, in addition to speaking at Microsoft's Build event virtually. He also held a press and analyst Q&A in Taipei. The elders at a local Taipei bakery I go to even described to me Jensen Huang as the, quote, translated, center of the world when he comes to Taipei, saying that he acts as a magnet to all of the attention. So, even for people outside of the computer industry, they all know Jensen and NVIDIA. It's a big PR tour. With so much airtime, Jensen used the opportunity to build the case for AI agents using personal computers.
The days of having a really smart assistant running autonomously on the PC is here.
But in the future, you just pick up your phone and you chat with your agent. You're chatting with your PC in the future. Now, these agentic systems, agentic AIs, will use the PC, will use the tools in the PC.
NVIDIA's agentic PC pitch occurs just as the company is entering the CPU side of personal computing with its new ARM-based processors. For the RTX Spark solution, NVIDIA officially unveiled the new CPU at Computex, calling it a superchip. Traditionally, a company might be worried about an antitrust bust by doing something like this, where effectively they're creating a fully closed ecosystem and boxing everyone else out. But if you're friends with the US government, and if the US government likewise depends on you to keep the economy propped up so that the current people in office stay in office regardless of party, And if the U.S. government depends on you to allow the people within it to make a lot of profit off of inside trades, we think, then obviously there's not a lot of incentive to bust something that might be anti-competitive. One PC Case and Cooling CEO said to us, where's the place in this industry for us if RTX Spark succeeds? Alluding to the possibility of NVIDIA expanding slowly into, for example, Founders Edition models. NVIDIA's push in consumer CPUs follows its data center strategy. NVIDIA has been talking about its Vera CPU for months now, and the company recently claimed the data center CPU market is a $200 billion opportunity. For perspective, NVIDIA does about $16 billion per year in gaming revenue, at least before it hit those sales within its edge computing category. If NVIDIA can succeed in CPUs, it would be one of the quickest ways for it to expand its TAM, where suddenly, for one CPU, one GPU systems, it's doubling the amount of parts it's selling. Now, in a lot of AI use cases, servers, it's not one-to-one, but there is a trend for more CPUs right now, and that benefits them.
I can totally imagine, just as every house today has a home theater, where many houses have home theaters, big TVs, lawnmowers, dishwashers. I could totally imagine that someday there's actually an AI supercomputer in your house. And it's running all of your agents. It's running all of your assistants.
NVIDIA's CPU share is likely to be higher than our GPU share because we have 100% GPU share, and we'll sell more CPUs outside of NVIDIA GPUs. Every data center that has NVIDIA GPUs in it will likely just use Vera. That's my guess.
NVIDIA's elevated investment in CPUs comes at a time when CPUs are being more important for agentic AI, something that AMD and Intel have latched onto, and something that NVIDIA has noted as well. Market research firm TrendForce said the AI boom changed the traditional mix of CPUs and GPUs in the data center, since AI models needed GPUs to handle massive parallel matrix multiplication. TrendForce said, quote, as a result, today's AI data centers operate at CPU to GPU ratios of roughly 1:4 to 1:8, end quote. This change is now reversing. TrendForce said that, quote, agentic AI is designed to interact dynamically with its environment, the coordination layer that manages all of this, scheduling subtasks, routing tool calls, passing data between sub-agents, and evaluating whether the original request has been fulfilled falls squarely on the CPU, end quote. Due to this shift, TrendForce expects the demand for CPUs will increase. The firm claims future CPU to GPU ratios will be between 1:1 and 1:2. AMD and Intel share this same sentiment and are the incumbents here. Per Tom's Hardware, Intel said in an earnings call that the ratios of CPUs to GPUs in data centers could change to 1:1 for agentic AI workloads. Similarly, in a blog post, AMD said agentic AI could increase the ratio of CPUs to GPUs higher than 1:1. Now, of course, big surprise that companies that sell CPUs think that they can sell more x86 server CPUs. NVIDIA previously wanted to buy ARM, but was shot down. Although obviously an antitrust concern, we now see why NVIDIA wanted it so badly. According to writer and former part of Jensen's Orbit, Tae Kim, an NVIDIA executive said that agentic AI will change the ratio of GPUs to CPUs and servers from about 2:1 to 1:1 in a matter of months. So just like selling computers to agents instead of people, or in addition to them, where Jensen thinks there's only a billion people, by which we assume he means those who matter to him. But anyway, in addition to selling to agents, by moving to CPUs, NVIDIA can materialize total addressable market out of thin air. While NVIDIA has the Vera CPU for the data center market, NVIDIA also wants to create more demand for its CPUs in the consumer space, or at least the future of the consumer space, where it anticipates everyone will have a, and this is what they said on stage, $10,000 personal assistant in your home, which is just about the most out of touch thing a billionaire could say, but okay. This may be why there were so many sponsored videos, YouTube and otherwise, and articles about RTX Spark and the N1, and in particular with partners like ASUS, where if you don't know, MDF, or Marketing Development Fund, is funneled often through these companies from NVIDIA, Intel, and AMD. And so when you see sponsored content pushing the future of RTX Spark, and it's funded by a company like ASUS, Gigabyte, MSI, and so forth, a lot of times that is Marketing Development Fund money that ultimately came from NVIDIA. NVIDIA is pushing this narrative because this is NVIDIA's way to move consumers, we think, in the future to its own CPU and GPU platforms outside of just the cloud-based services that you're basically forced to use anyway if you interact with any kind of subscription LLM. And the best way to, I guess, protest that if you're opposed to the concept would be to not subscribe to LLMs, especially ones that you don't own. If you really must have one, ideally you try to do it locally. According to Jensen, there aren't enough people who buy computers, and NVIDIA wants to expand that market with artificial users.
We're going to go after this $0 billion market we call agents. Agents is a $0 billion market because 6 months ago it didn't exist.
And so the question is, how large can the computer industry be?
Yeah.
And so, you know, my sense is that at this point it's a foregone conclusion that what is a $1 trillion, multi-trillion-dollar industry is likely 10 times larger.
So Jensen wants personal computers to become personal AI systems, and costly, expensive personal AI systems at that. In a financial analyst Q&A in Taiwan, Jensen said he could see a future where people have $10,000 computers in their homes that function for their personal AI assistant.
The idea that you have a $10,000 assistant that you use every single day doing things for you, that's not illogical to me.
This follows Jensen saying that every house could eventually have a supercomputer in it.
I could totally imagine that someday there's actually an AI supercomputer in your house.
It's almost like the smart house that Disney pioneered.
Disney invites you to step through a door to the future.
So you mean we're gonna do it? We're gonna move in?
Ben Cooper has won a computerized smart house for his family.
Way to go, Cooper!
Complete with video wall projections, a state-of-the-art control room, floor absorbers, and maternal instincts.
Biorhythm analysis indicates this is exactly the outfit you would have selected yourself.
And also, it comes at a time where, per our GNCA coverage, some of NVIDIA's partners are pushing distributed data centers in your yard with an offer of paying for some of the electricity they use. As NVIDIA's business strategy shifts to selling more AI, and now selling AI to consumers wherever they can as well, it's also overhauling its financial reporting. We discussed this in a deep dive separately, but to recap it briefly, NVIDIA will attribute revenue to two market platforms, data center and edge computing. NVIDIA will no longer break out gaming revenue, which will help hide any decline in gaming revenue. NVIDIA's GeForce GPU revenue will be bundled alongside products that have nothing to do with consumers in the edge computing category. NVIDIA describes this category as, quote, highlighting data processing devices for agentic and physical AI, including PCs, game consoles, workstations, AI-RAN base stations, robotics, and automotive, end quote. So they're explicitly saying that edge computing is for devices that are used for agentic and physical AI, which would be robotics, basically. NVIDIA doesn't mention devices for people there, because why would you, I guess? It was less clear last time we discussed these changes when the company enacted them. Now, after Computex, really what's changed is the clarity, where last time we just had one key quote from Jensen in the earnings call about how the future of computing is selling for agents to use PCs. And in the keynote at Computex, he clarified that for us by stating the same thing several times in even clearer terms. NVIDIA envisions a future where agents are running autonomously all the time, whether that's for robots, self-driving cars, or personal assistants.
This entire new population of intelligence needs computers to operate. They're going to need a lot of CPUs.
And so linking this back to the start with the government changes, you could see how it would be concerning if suddenly governments are requesting early access and previews to models, where it becomes unclear what backdoors they might be inserting into those or how they might want to manipulate the results, whether that is directly or whether that is through coercion of the companies. And right now the companies have an awful lot of control as well over government, where at any moment they could say, you wouldn't want anything to happen to that precious economy of yours, would you, while you're in office? But it could go both ways. And if the push is for all consumers to move to personal agents and assistants, and your $10,000 box that you either rent for $50 a month or you buy it because you have the money to do so, if that's the move, then obviously this executive order lines things up pretty damn well, where the end goal, it seems, would be to intercept as much as possible, aggregate, collect information as much as possible, and analyze it. And that can be used for non obviously bad things like simple advertising, where it's just the highly manipulative, targeted, super effective ad more than you would typically see. And it can be used for things like control of speech and information and voting or companies and the perception of them. NVIDIA's new personal computing SoC is officially called the RTX Spark. Company PR positions the Spark as being a, quote, teammate, end quote, for people, and says that desktops with RTX Spark are, quote, built to run personal AI agents 24/7 right at your desk, end quote. While NVIDIA is celebrating the PC as being reinvented with RTX Spark, the company is hiding from one thing, which is pricing. Systems with NVIDIA's new chips will be expensive. Based on conversations with OEM vendors, PC World reported that devices with RTX Spark N1X will cost around $2,500. PCs with the less capable N1 should start around $2,000. Gamers Nexus was told when we were speaking with companies at the show that at least one specific RTX Spark SKU with 128 gigabytes of memory in it would cost over $5,000, and that particular vendor will not have models with less than 128 gigabytes of memory because it just wouldn't be effective at being an agent. So when we talk about sort of this corruption or the concept of it, you start looking too at the memory makers, where Micron, for example, that gets massive tax breaks to the tune of billions of dollars in New York for property taxes that normal people would have to support, subsidize, and pay through their own property or sales tax or whatever else. Companies like that seem to benefit mightily from a push in agentic computing instead, forcing agents over simple search engines or, you know, doing things yourself, because they can sell all of the memory that they make and they can keep it in a constant high demand and low supply, which, as we detailed in our DRAM cartel documentary, memory makers have a conviction in the past of actually colluding to price fix. And you start to shove 128 gigabytes of memory into every box that every home in NVIDIA's vision would have, suddenly you've created an awful lot of demand, where typically, if they have a computer, it might be 32 gigabytes or 16 or something. And now you're multiplying that, pumping up the demand, keeping the prices elevated for as long as possible, or maybe forever. Early analyst predictions are similar to PC World's reporting. Found via WCCF Tech, creative strategies analyst Max Weinbach said Morgan Stanley anticipates PCs with N1X to cost $2,900, while N1 models will cost $1,800. According to PC World, NVIDIA and Microsoft didn't confirm any pricing info related to the RTX Spark. NVIDIA said pricing would be available closer to its launch later this year. Now, multiple NVIDIA partners informed Gamers Nexus that they were not on the list to receive Spark options in the first wave. They were pushed into Tier 2 or Tier 3 status. And they cited to us memory supply constraints, saying that the SoC supply was actually pretty good. But it wasn't the SoC that's the problem, it's the memory, because you need so much of it to make these useful at all. While multiple outlets have reported that PCs with NVIDIA's new chips will be spendy, this is chump change to Jensen.
Invest, I love getting rich.
So again, to us, all the pieces are lining up where you can see the companies keeping their friends, per Lisa Su's admission.
Everybody is so friendly. Everyone loves each other. Even if they're competitors, it doesn't matter.
In power. You see it with Micron, where suddenly the drive for agentic PCs not only creates more total addressable market, because you can sell to things, not just people, I guess, it's ultimately kind of people, but also it creates a push for the memory consumption that we just talked about, where companies like Micron, who are getting billions upon billions of dollars in tax breaks to build foundries that don't help you, they help other businesses, companies like Micron, who donate millions of dollars to the ballroom, to the inauguration fund, things like that, suddenly they're part of this too, where they've already benefited from the memory demand. Now the problem is keeping that demand elevated enough to keep propping up the prices and pumping the numbers. You look at SK Hynix earnings, Samsung Memory, and Micron, and all of them have unbelievably high margin now. Some of them have gone up like tens of percentage points, not tens of percent, tens of percentage points. The corruption here that we're seeing, the government with its executive order requesting access to AI models early, that creates easy abuse for insider trading. We've already seen what looks to be evidence of this in our opinions when you look at the Office of Ethics disclosures from the past two, I think it's quarters, where you can see hundreds of millions of dollars of trades in these AI companies, sometimes immediately followed by executive actions and policies that benefit those companies, where NVIDIA gets approval to sell chips into China just weeks after Trump or his assigns buy NVIDIA stock, as one example. Dell supports and donates to groups that benefit the current administration. And this is something that we continue to see as the status quo now. NVIDIA wants the future of computing to abide by its vision while ensuring its industry partners follow NVIDIA's lead.
We have to help the world understand their place in that future. Does that make sense? It's partly my job too. And so it's inspire them to build for that future, inspire them to come with us.
Performance per watt is your revenues. Choosing the wrong architecture just because the chips are cheaper doesn't translate. Doesn't make sense. You need to make sure that your revenues per watt, the more you buy, the more you make.
As part of this, Jensen continues to prop up NVIDIA's key partners in a way that raises their stock prices. We've seen several outlets describe this as the Jensen effect.
Your job is simple. Your job is simple. Double the stock price every week.
Of course,
like you've been doing for the last 2 weeks. Just keep doing that a few more times. Okay? All right, good job. Thank you, guys. Good job.
Look at his stock price. Every product I announce, his stock price goes up. Nothing happens to mine. By arm.
The next trillion-dollar company, ladies and gentlemen.
We're lovers, not fighters.
So NVIDIA knows that you really don't have much of a choice.
Ultimately, I do think that if you buy nothing but NVIDIA, it's okay.
And the largest company in the world, with a market cap of more than $5 trillion, NVIDIA has a certain gravitational force. Tech companies will follow NVIDIA's vision while money continues to flow into AI. And the government is part of that too with its decisions. They are inseparable at this point. In fact, they're both investors in Intel, where they own a significant percentage of it together. An industry insider spoke of Jensen Huang's RTX Spark plans to Gamers Nexus, saying, quote, he's going to fuck the laptop guys first, end quote. And the insider indicated a belief, which we agree with, that future devices will move towards the Founders Edition model and start to slowly cut out the laptop or mini PC providers, whatever you may call them in the future, similar to what we've seen in video cards. And right now, NVIDIA's vision is around building computers and systems that prioritize AI rather than people, because you can sell to more agents, apparently, than people. For now, that involves partners. But increasingly, we've seen NVIDIA not need its partners, except maybe the memory makers. I mean, even the companies that put the memory out to sticks are not needed here. Companies like Corsair and G-Skill get threatened in this vision of the future as well. So we're also seeing that with CPU partners now, which NVIDIA once boasted. There was a time when NVIDIA congratulated AMD for the launch of, it was either EPYC or Threader for CPUs. And now, as it moves to SoCs, we're seeing it with major laptop makers getting tier 2 rankings for Spark SoC supply, and we've seen it with video card board partners as well. Toward the end of Computex, GN superfan Bloomberg reported that Jensen spoke at a closed-door event for investors and representatives from wealthy families. According to Bloomberg's report, as found on a repost in Yahoo Finance, Jensen said only, quote, crazy people would question returns from AI, end quote. The outlet quoted Jensen as saying, quote, remember last year when we were together, the rhetoric and the narrative around the investment were, what's the ROI? Give me one example of some crazy person saying that now. They're going to sound insane, end quote. And it seems that Jensen, the man who wants to put AI supercomputers in your home, doesn't want to field any questions that are critical of AI. He doesn't want to acknowledge, it seems, that critics have any valid arguments. They're just crazy people or insane. And with protections of the government, NVIDIA is positioned to do as it pleases. You'd have to imagine that if NVIDIA is at any regulatory risk that would affect its profits, or could be an antitrust concern, or a blocked merger or acquisition like we saw with ARM years ago now, then it would be heavily incentivized to keep Trump in power and the current administration in power for as long as possible. And Micron, SK Hynix, and Samsung are incentivized, likewise, to keep NVIDIA in power. It really is NVIDIA's world at this point. We talked about it before. We had a video titled that, I think. And now we're seeing that it's true. It is big enough to move not just markets, but economies, and the global economy at that. So that's going to be it for this one. Thanks for watching. Subscribe for more. Go to store.gamersaccess.net to support us directly. And you can use the code I told you so to get some free Snowflake, the data pirate doubloons that we have. We'll ship a pack of four if you use that code on any order on the store. Tails. Fitting. Subscribe for more. We'll see you all next time.